Sinful man in need of redemption, hopeless, helpless, sinner lost. But the Alpha and Omega brought the answer to a cross. And that's where one day I found him. Sin no longer left a stain. To this day it is a holy, perfect land.
God handled it.
My God fixed it all.
His land was
mercy, love, and grace. And it is mine. Hallelujah. To his heaven. Saw me way back yonder in Eden, knew I needed saving grace. And this heart that loves him dearly, that is what he sees today. Well, down through the years I've found him faithful. Think I'll trust him on and on, for his plan will lead his children safely home.
God handled it.
My God fixed it all. Mercy, love, and grace, and it is mine, hallelujah, to his heaven, loving end.
When I saw the beginning,
I was looking at him,
I saw the
I still see the Lamb, God handled it all, it was and is a perfect Lamb.
God handled it all.
My God fixed it all. Mercy, love, and grace, and it is mine. To his lovely, lovely day.
When I saw the beginning,
I was looking at him.
I saw the
Lamb. I still see the Lamb. God handled it all. It was and is a perfect Lamb.
When I saw the beginning,
I was looking at him.
I saw the Lamb.
I still see the Lamb. God handled it all. It was and is a perfect Lamb. God handled it. One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. With the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep, for one little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had to die, and why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and the rain, would it still remain? He wanted to be sure. So he called out to his earthly father with a trembling voice, so scared. He cried, "Father, please, will you look and see if the blood is still there?" But he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The winds may blow and the rains may fall, but it just won't wash away. Applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there."
looking over all the damage life's storm had left behind. A flood of endless questions and even doubts had filled my mind. The fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me to my knees in prayer, crying, "Father, please, will you look and see if the blood is still there?" But he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The winds may blow and the rains may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Saved, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there."
Amen. God bless y'all. That was good singing. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here again this morning. Y'all pray for Brother Ross. He's having trouble right now. He was all set to preach first. He walked up the stage, grabbed the mic, hooked it up, and Brother Lasseter said, "No, I don't think so." It's like running out of the bullpen all the way to the mound. The manager said, No, this is the other guy. Go back." Saw him do the walk of shame back down the steps over there. I do have to correct the record. And this is what they call in the world of legalese a mea culpa. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Mississippi at all. Mississippi's the home of Jerry Clower, Yazoo City. Ha! I said, "I don't know who Jerry Clower is. That's called old-time religion. You need to find out." Even if you're backslidden, Mississippi's the home of Elvis Presley. Hey. And Mississippi also happens to be the home of the man who's going to sign the love offering from this particular youth conference, so I'm terribly sorry. Anything I might have said under the influence of... What in the world? Does somebody have a cricket ringtone? Or a pet cricket? Jiminy Cricket, it's your conscience. Your conscience quit talking a long time ago. That's not yours. Amen. It was good last night. I was glad to get to the room. I went to Wendy's and ate a jalapeno burger and went to sleep. Brother Lassiter and Brother Ross, I think, got some more substantial food. And Brother Ross woke up at 2 o'clock this morning having a Pentecostal fit in his room. So how do you know? Because he's down the hall from me. Thought there was a fire in the building. He woke up. Ah! Zelda, Mama, Stella, screaming all over his room. It's good to be here. Y'all remember Brother Mark. Staph infection is nothing to mess with. And it's the kind of thing that lands you in the hospital for a long time. But he wanted to be here. They probably should have admitted him a couple days ago. They just told him, "Look, keep it propped up. Maybe you can work through this and the shots will give him your help." And evidently it didn't. His leg was very swollen this morning. And he wants to be here desperately. I know something of what it's like to put one of these together and you want to be part of everything. And it's kind of, you know, all the work that's gone on behind the scenes that finally it's coming to fruition and you want to see it. And he's in the room. So you pray for his leg to heal, certainly, and for his spirit, and that the Lord would give him grace there. Well, I do like to tell family stories. And there was a father and a son that happened to be cannibals. Just happened to be cannibals. It just happened that way. There's a... Cannibals are interesting people. They just are. Cannibal that ordered a pizza with everybody on it. Cannibal passed his breath.
Where's my mom at? Oh, there she is. She weren't here, I tell you, but the cannibal that passed his best friend in the woods. But she's here, so there's no way I can say that. That's great, because half the crowd was like, well, what's he talking about? Okay, so he passed his friend. What's the big deal? Ask your youth pastor later. But there was a cannibal, and he was trying to instruct his son in the fine art of hunting. And so they're hidden behind a rock in a well-traveled path, and this skinny guy comes running by, and he's like, Dad, let's get him and eat him. And the cannibal said, no, son, there's not enough meat on him for the both of us. Be patient. That's my best cannibal accent. I don't know if it works. Look, your guess is as good as mine. I haven't talked to many cannibals. No, son, there's not enough meat on that one. Patience, patience, lad. All right, from now on, the cannibals are going to be British. That's it. Pip in two, and I'll have another leg. Cannibal had dandruff. They found head and shoulders in the freezer, you know. Cannibal knew his wife was upset when she gave him a cold shoulder. But anyway, where was I? Oh, that's right. So I have my knife. And they're sitting behind the rock, and a big fat guy comes running down the path. He goes, Dad! I'm sorry, he's British. Father, how about we grab him and eat him? No, son, that's nothing but cholesterol with legs. We die of a coronary. Be patient. So they're waiting just a little bit longer, and a pretty girl comes walking down the path. Father, surely let's get her and eat her. Said, no, son, we're going to take her home and eat your mother. I don't know. I think it loses something when you do it with a British accent. I don't know. That needs to be confiscated and burned. I'm really, and also very, not just Mississippi, I'm really sorry about the whole gum thing. I never thought anybody would step there, but... I thought I was doing a favor. I found it on the pew, chewed it for a while, put it down somewhere else for the next person. And then, ABC gum? Amen. You like family stories? I'll give you one more. There's a father and a son, and they happen to own a pharmacy together. And the father was called away on urgent business, and he had to leave the pharmacy in care of his son. He was very nervous about it. He'd never done it before. And that's kind of like pastor leaving a church in charge of a youth pastor. Just not something you do on purpose. And so the father goes out and runs his errand and comes back. And everything appears to be in order. And he asked the son, he said, how'd things go while I was gone? He said, well, everything went fine. He said, did we have any customers, any needs from the pharmacy? He goes, yeah, there was one. And he said, well, what was his ailment? He said, well, he had a terrible cough. And he said, well, what did you give him? He said, I gave him a laxative. He said, you gave him a what? He said, well, I gave him a laxative. He said, son, I've taught you better than that. Laxative's not going to help with the cough. He said, sure, Pop, look, he's scared to cough. Cricket, oh, no more crickets, no more crickets. I cleared this with Pastor Smith last night. I was hosting Pastor Smith at a national meeting. And I was going to meet his needs, and I've got my little pen. I'm dressed appropriately. I have my pen and paper, not to miss a detail. Not a word of the man of God is going to fall to the ground, unless that's where he wants it, and that's where it's going to stay. And anyway, I'm falling around, and he's talking to me. We're making small talk, and he goes, Jay, he said, I need you to pick some things up for me today. I said, yes, sir, and get my pen and paper out. He goes, I need some shredded wheat cereal. And I'm like, shredded wheat? Yes, sir, shredded wheat. And he said, also, and I'm like, also, I need a laxative. I said, a what? Now, look, if you're 60-something and you go into a drugstore and you get a laxative, people understand that. When you're 20-something and you go into a drugstore asking for a laxative, like, hey, who are you messing with? The only use I had for laxative was making special cookies and brownies. Here, eat these. They're especially delicious. Oh, the world of hosting. Amen. But I thought of that last night when I saw Brother Smith and I cleared it with him. And of course, nothing embarrasses him. He's like, son, when you're on the road, it's either coming too fast or it's not coming at all. And I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, got it. But no more information necessary. No more. Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 4. Y'all doing all right? Did you sleep well? I hope you went home and got rid of some trash. And I hope you brought your candle this morning. Now, in the words of Pastor Mike Johnson from California, I just want to lay down a bunt and get out of the way and let the second speaker have all the time he needs. But I want to talk to you about something that's vitally important this morning, and I hope you'll listen. Matthew chapter 4, stand once you found your place. We'll read verses 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Turn over to Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1. When the Bible repeats something, it is for emphasis. And when the Lord says something more than once, you should take note. Psalm 136 is great. For His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever. That's a good thing, young person. You ought to thank God that His mercy endureth forever. Mark 1 and verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And that's the title of the message this morning, Fishers of Men. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the day that somebody shared the good news of the gospel with me. Thankful that someone had a burden to reach someone else. And Lord, I'm thankful not only that we have been reached with the gospel, but we've been commissioned to get the good news of the gospel to others. We are part of your plan for reaching this world. You could have used angels. You could have used the beasts of the field. Lord, you could have spoken in a worldwide appearance from heaven. But in this time and in this place, you have chosen us to be the carriers of the message of the gospel. I pray that every young person here would have a desire to get the gospel out at every opportunity, to share the good news that Jesus saves with all those that will hear. Speak to hearts this morning. May the Holy Ghost work in our midst. Please be with Brother Mark this morning. Thank you for all his hard work. And Laura, I pray that you would bless them, especially right now, with great healing. And I pray that you would encourage him. I know his spirit is hurt right now. He wants to be here. He wants to complete the work that you've started here. And he's in a hospital. And so I pray that you would encourage him. And Lord, I pray that the results of the conference would be something that blesses him tremendously. Help him to know, Lord, that you can work and you're going to work even in his absence. Bless us that are here this morning. We that are here, I pray that we would sense your presence and we would hear from heaven and we would respond, yes, Lord, change me. Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, I'll go. And Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost would have free reign in all that happens this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I love how the Lord meets us where we live. God is not going to call you to be someone else. I see people preach sometimes, and I don't know if all preachers feel this way, but sometimes I get preacher envy. I wish that I could preach the Bible like Brother Ross does. I do. He writes things down on cards, and the Lord talks to him over the course of weeks and distills things down until they're just as they should be. I've got a friend just down the road there in the Jacksonville metropolitan area. His name's Doug Castle. He's in Linton, Indiana. You say, where's Linton? It's just north of French Lick. So whenever you need to swing by French Lick, just go north and you can go through Linton and then you'll be in Jacksonville. It's an incredible place. Say, what do they have there? Corn. What else? More corn. And a cat farm they'll tell you about. I asked the pastor one time, I think it was either, he won't admit it, it was either Pastor Ross or Pastor Linton. I was there and I said, where's a good place to eat around here? And they said, we like to go down to the hospital cafeteria. And I said, do what? I said, you guys ever heard of like Chili's or Cheddar's or something? No, we're going to go to Papacito's or something. No, we're going down the hospital cafeteria. That's what Linton and Jacksonville are all about. But Doug's just down the road and Doug knows his Bible. Oh my goodness, just in and out. I talked with him. I found out he has an earned PhD. I don't know if that's supposed to be common knowledge, but brilliant about that. There's an evangelist named Sam Gipp, and I mean, he gets to going and my head gets to spinning. I just knows so much. There are pastors that are just funny. Cecil Ballard is funny. Oh my goodness. He can imitate anybody. And the thing is, he does better imitations than those people do their real voices. You know, after he does Jim Vineyard, I don't want to hear Jim Vineyard. I want to hear Cecil Ballard doing Jim Vineyard. That's what I don't want to hear Carl Hatch. I want to hear Cecil Ballard do Carl Hatch. That's awesome. Does a great job. He'll get up and do Brother Smith forever and ever. And I'm thinking, man, he just does it. And he's so funny. And he'll swing and miss on 8 jokes in a row, but he'll get you on the 9th one. Just keeps going till he's got you. And then when he got you, you're done. You just stop, make him stop. He's great. There are people in my area that are just, they're glory preachers extraordinaire. Joe Authors that way. And I mean, just take you to the door of heaven, let you peek inside, and it's just incredible. But God didn't call me to be any of those guys. He called me with my weird sense of humor. He called me with my mind that scattered in 18 different directions. He said he wanted to use that. I don't know why, but that's what he wanted to do. And listen, God will meet you where you are. Say, well, I could never be a Brother Ross. I could never be a Brother Lasseter. I could never be a Pastor Author. I could never be a Phil Kidd, or I could never be a Tony Hudson, or I could never be any. Listen, God is not calling you to be those people. God will meet you. When God showed up to a bunch of fishermen, he said, follow me and I'll introduce you to the world of high finance. Follow me and I will make you a great orator. He didn't say that. He said, hey, follow me and I'll use what you are for my kingdom. I'll make you a fisher of men. God meets you where you are. Listen to me, young man. It's not about what God can do with somebody else. It's not about, well, I'll never be that. You might never be that, but God has something for your life. And he wants to use you in a special way. What a great purpose we have in reaching lost souls for Jesus Christ. To feed people is noble. To clothe people is noble. To educate people or to house people, these are all noble. But to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ goes well beyond that. The greatest business of the New Testament church is the business of keeping people out of hell. I believe the Lord still wants us to be fishers of men today. Souls really do hang in the balance. And listen, soul winning's not something you do when you become 30. Soul winning's not something that you do when I get into Bible college, then I'll start. Listen to me. As a teenager, you have the ability to go places. If you go to a public school, you have a mission field there that these pastors cannot even approach. Your friends, your neighborhood, that is your specific mission field, and your God wants you to go you into that world and reach those people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be fishers of men. The idea that we're born again and that we never share the message of Jesus with someone else doesn't jive with biblical Christianity. It just doesn't. There's a lot of great scripture in the Bible, but there's one great commission. When Jesus distilled His ministry down, when He said, look guys, it used to be real big back in the 80s and 90s in big business to have a mission statement. The mission statement, you know, our mission is to provide excellent customer service. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus, when He said His mission statement, He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, if you want to know why I'm here to save lost people. Yes, He's the Savior of the world. Yes, He came to die for the world. But listen to me, in the process of ministry here on earth, everywhere He went, somebody was going to hear the message of salvation. Amen. Didn't matter if it was a woman in a well. Didn't matter if it was a Jew or a Gentile. Didn't matter if they were rich or poor. It could be a rich young ruler or a poor old woman. Jesus had a gospel message everywhere that He went. Fishers of men. And I just want to give you a few steps to becoming a fisher of men. And then we'll get down. Number one. I don't mean like get down. Do people even say that anymore? I say get down. It's gone. Here are the steps to becoming a fisher of men. Number one, we must follow the Lord. Y'all all right? I'm seeing a lot of sleepiness this morning. I'm so sleepy. I'm a teenager and it's not even 11 yet. Stand up! Everybody stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Look at the person next to you. Come up on your tiptoes. And down you go. Up on your tiptoes again. Down you go. Stretch your arms out. I knew that was going to happen. Kind of round and around like this. Bring up your knee. One knee like that. Bring up the other knee at the same time. I'm kidding. It won't work. Don't try it. Bring up the other knee. Let's do some butterflies here. Butterflies, butterflies, butterflies. All right. Guys, flex. Girls, primp. Girls, if you don't know how to primp, you need to get Brother Ross's book on femininity. I'm not making that up. He's got a book on femininity. Maybe he'll demonstrate for something. Now, ladies, this is the proper way to sit. With legs to one side, knees together. He wrote a book on masculinity. I was like, yeah, masculinity, yeah. He wrote a book on femininity. I was like, what in the world is he doing? I'm sure it's needed and everything. But were you the guy? He wrote it with his wife. It's like. All right, look at the person next to you. Look at him. Pick one next to you. Just pick one. Oh, nobody wants to look at me. There are reasons. Look at him. Look at him. And with an earnest, sincere gaze, look at him. Look, you got to look at somebody. Turn around and look at the dude behind you. Here you go. Look at him. Say, I am so glad that I don't look like you. All right, you can be seated. All right, good job. Alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. Here we go. Number one. We must follow the Lord. When you look at verse number 19, Jesus said unto him, I'll make you fishers of men. Yes, He did say that, but first He said, follow Me. Listen, we need to win souls because we have compassion on lost souls and we care about them. But the main reason we win souls is because we love Jesus. We are followers of Jesus Christ, and He tells us our marching orders. He says, do this, and we say, yes, sir. And the Lord says, follow Me. And if you say, I'm having trouble being a consistent soul winner. Your bigger problem is that you have trouble following Christ. We must follow the Lord. The first call of the Master is the call to follow everywhere He went. Didn't matter if it was a tax collector. It didn't matter. I noticed that the Lord didn't put any lawyers in the group. And I'm so thankful for that. There were some fellows that got up to heaven and they really just were not liking it there. And they came to the Lord and they were Muslims. Don't know how they got into heaven. It's a joke, you know, it doesn't have to be accurate. But everywhere they went, they're like, Muslims, Muslims. And they finally went to the Lord and said, Lord, we are tired of all of this discrimination. We are going to bring a lawsuit for defamation against heaven. The Lord looked at him and said, where are you going to get a lawyer around here? And sharks don't eat lawyers. Professional courtesy. There is a universal call, though, when the Lord would come up to man. He'd say, follow me. And the first step to becoming a fisher of men is the step to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not fish if we do not follow. And if we are not fishing, we must not be following. See, people say, well, I'm just not naturally gregarious. I'm not an outgoing person. So, you know, I leave the soul winning to other people. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Listen, we're not Calvinists. There are Calvinists around here. They're all around the Metroplex. They are. They believe in irresistible grace and limited atonement and all these things like that. And it's amazing. They study the Bible, but in their study of the Bible, they always seem to miss the word whosoever. And if they find the word whosoever, they real quick add in whosoever among the elect. You know, if the Lord wanted to say whosoever among the elect, that's what He would have said. Well, the Bible says elect, but election's always according to foreknowledge, whom He did foreknow. So what does that mean? When the Lord puts people in hell, this is what He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. When you got saved, there's a transaction that happened before the foundation of the world, because Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. And if you're found in Him, when the Lord made this planet, He knew that man would fall. And so by making man, the Lord Jesus Christ knew He was going to have to put Himself on a cross one day. That's why the Bible said the work of redemption, the plan of redemption, didn't just happen on the fly. Oh no, they fell. What are we going to do? Jesus Christ knew, as He fashioned man fearfully and wonderfully, that He was going to have to pay for the sins of mankind at the hands of mankind. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. But you are in Christ. You are crucified, Paul said, with Christ. On the cross of Calvary. So God has known you, whom He did foreknow. But listen, it's not the other way around. It said God didn't predestinate the people that He was going to foreknow. He said, the people that I foreknew, those people I predestined. Listen, God gives you a choice. You can say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. That's up to you. The Bible, the Lord's very clear. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But hang on a minute. This idea of Calvinism is a lazy man's religion. Because we just sit back and, oh, the Lord's going to bring in whoever. You're going to be whammed upside the head with irresistible grace. Whap! You don't have a choice in the matter. I don't know why Calvinists have radio stations. If people are saved, they're going to get saved. Why have a radio station? Why have a TV program? Why even reach out? Because the Holy Spirit's just going to go around bopping people on the head. Like, what is it? The who's a little bunny foo-foo? Y'all know about little bunny foo-foo? Hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head? Y'all got to quit watching TV. Learn some of these classic pieces of American literature. The Holy Ghost is going to go around bopping people on the head. I got to get saved right now. It's a lazy man's religion. If you're going to follow Christ, you are going to have to get in the business of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, I'm following Jesus not if you're not winning people to Christ. If I follow Bill Gates, I'm going to learn about the world of business. If I followed Chipper Jones, I'd learn about the world of baseball. If I followed Karl Rove, I'd learn about the world of politics. If I followed Coach Krzyzewski, I'd learn about the world of college basketball. And if I follow Jesus Christ, I'll learn to reach people with the gospel. Follow Jesus and I'll reach people, I'll become a fishers of men. We do not always like where and how he leads, but we must follow where he leads. Number two, we must learn to fish. We must learn to fish. We must follow the Lord. We must learn to fish. There is technique involved. I had some idiot pressure me to get a bait caster. I hate bait. How many of you guys fish in here? You fish? Okay. Okay. I like open face reels, all right? Open the bail, pinch the line, pull it back, throw and release. Not the whole pole. It gets expensive. Okay? Bait caster. All you gotta do is put your finger on this here button. Then when you go throw, you lift your thumb up and it goes out there, and then you just kind of pinch it down on the end. You want to have a bad day fishing? Buy a bait caster. Bird nest. Because one of two things happen. Either you throw it out there and you hit it too quick and it goes like 6 feet from the boat and goes bloop. Or you don't go quick enough and it backlashes on you. I'm looking, there's a guy over there and he's doing this number. He's skipping lures into it all. And I'm thinking, all right. I spend my whole day fishing. Okay. Bird nest. There's technique to it. There really is. Those guys, I grew up in Florida, and those guys would throw cast nets. I could throw a mean banana with a cast net. I could. And my father bought me, I think, a 6 foot braille net, and you'd throw part of the lead line over your shoulder here, and then you'd hook it in your mouth right here, and you always got to release because that could be bad. And then you take that thing, it's a big circle net with a rope that goes down through the middle, and when you pull the rope, it's just a little loop, it bags under like this. If it's a braille net, it bags under like that. If not, if it's a bag net, it already has the bags in it, and just lifts straight up. And so you throw some over your shoulder, and you get some over this arm here, and your mouth here, and you're supposed to throw a circle. I could throw a banana. The idea is to throw a circle and land over a school of fish. And it settles over the top of them, goes to the bottom, and you pull it, and you get the fish out. That's great in theory. There are guys, listen, they can wade up to their nose. That's not your nose, that's your neck. Sorry. There's guys that can wade out to their neck, and throw perfect, there's technique to it. There are lures, and there are poles, and there are different times of day to go, and there are tides, there's all, listen, with winning souls, you can go out with traps, but you ought to get pretty good at it. Why don't you learn? Listen, rather than fumbling around through your Bible, well, I think the Bible says over here, and God can use the sincerity of your heart. I remember one of the first people I led the Lord, I went to his house, and I was with another guy, and I stumbled so bad through the Romans Road. It was horrible. And if you were a soul winner, you've been there before. All the verses that were in your mind are gone. And you're getting cottonmouth. It's not like talking to a crowd like this. It's one person. And he's looking at you, and you're in his house, and you suspect he speaks English. I'm saying that my bus route was in North Chicago, and there were no English speakers up there. Sometimes we'd go to the door and say, "Hi, I'm John Rice, and this is Lester Roloff, and we're from the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London, England." And they'd be like, "Yes, bueno." But we were going door to door, and it was my turn. And man, I was sweating bullets. I had my notes from personal evangelism, and I'm ready to go here, and got my New Testament marked, and it's here. And the guy, he almost surprised me. "Hey, if you die today, are you going to go to heaven?" "I don't know." "Well, would you like to know?" "Well, sure." "Really?" "Yeah." Everybody else had slammed the door in my face. "Who's this guy? Why does he want to know?" So I started, and I'm like, "Well, the Bible says that we're all spent sinners, and that because of sin in the Bible, you know, it says," and I'm stumbling and fumbling and bumbling, and it is horrible. and I'm not getting the verses right, and my silent partner's not being silent. He's like, come on, it's Romans 3:23. And I'm in, you know, Revelation or Hezekiah or somewhere trying to look up verses. I'm sweating bullets. I don't even, when I got done, if somebody had presented the gospel to me that way, I'm not sure I'd be saved. I said, okay. So do you want to get saved? He's like, yeah. And again, I'm like, really? So what happened? The Holy Ghost got in on it. He can do that. But listen to me. You ought to get better. You ought to learn those verses. You ought to know, listen, if they give you this argument or that argument, where you can go in Scripture to find that, we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to learn your Bible. You ought to get better at it. You ought to learn how to win souls to Christ. You say, well, I don't know how. There's a lot of books on it. Read it. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your youth pastor. Listen, don't sit there like a bump on a log. Nothing in life. Listen. Very few things in life worthwhile just come to you. You're going to have to work and work and work and work. You say, well, it's about God. It's about the Holy Ghost. Yes, but you give God the best you have. And God uses that. So number one, you got to follow Christ. Number two, you have to learn to fish. You need to learn to draw the net. Learn to talk about baptism. Learn to follow up with discipleship. And number three, and we're done. We must care about the catch. Never forget the reason we go. First and foremost, we go because the Lord said so. Do you love the Lord? I'm glad there are four adults that love the Lord. Young people, do you love the Lord? I mean, do you love Him? Have you told Him this week that you loved Him? You know, sometimes I'll get married couples in the office, and they're sitting across the desk, and they're having trouble, and I've just asked them, so, do you tell each other often that you love Him? Oh, we hardly ever do that. Well, do you love each other? Well, yeah, we do. Then why not say so? It's part of a healthy relationship. Do you love the Lord? Look at me, young person. Do you love the Lord? The Lord's greatest work on earth is the act of redemption. He died on the cross. Isn't that what it's all about? Help me now. Isn't Jesus dying on the cross? Isn't that what it's all about? That means He gave everything that He had, everything that He was, He sacrificed that to reach people. His heart is reaching people. Listen, if you love somebody, you begin to love what they love. And that heart of Christ should affect you. Why do we go? We go because we love Jesus. And I, you know, our problem really, we're going to preach on rock music and we're going to preach on, you know, movies and internet and we're going to preach on wrong relationships and drugs. Now, I'm sure all that stuff will get hit this week, but our real problem is not a thing problem. Our real problem is a love problem. Because the Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Young person, do you love Jesus Christ? I'm just going to walk down here one more time. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Do you love Jesus Christ? Well, yeah, of course I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus Christ? You see, if you fell in love with some girl or some boy, you know what you'd do? You'd write him a letter and say so. Oh, I love you. Let me count the ways. Mm-hmm. Little hug, little kiss, big hug, big kiss, little hug. Sorry thing. That is so disconcerting. No wonder you're such a bad spirit. You've been looking at that all. Do you love Jesus Christ? Well, of course I love Him. Do you love Jesus Christ? Have you told Him this week? Did you get up this morning and say, Lord, I love you? Well, I'm not wired that way. I'm not wired that way. It's funny. You let a guy who isn't wired that way get head over heels about a girl, and all of a sudden he's wired that way. Guys are like, hey, let's go play some basketball. No, I can't go. Why? Because I got to call her tonight. Got to call her. We're going to go. You love basketball. No, I got to call her. Got to call. Man, we're going to go get some malts afterwards at the Whataburger. My daughter was like, it's Whataburger, not Whataburger. I'm like, Whataburger. Mel Tillis said Whataburger. see a guy, listen, he hadn't taken a shower in 6 years. All of a sudden he starts combing his hair. Deodorant. He's plucking out his unibrow. Oh. Trying to pop the zits, get them in line. What happened?
I'm in love.
You love Jesus? I mean, do you really love Jesus? You know, He first loved you. Listen to me, guys. There's not a little Sheila in this room that did for you what Jesus Christ did for you. He died for you while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So, preacher, I have a real hard time getting out and tell people, you got a love problem. I stood up in a bar to preach one time. I don't do this often. Usually I just drink. But I stood up in a bar to preach one time. It was my homiletics class, and we were supposed to go in a bar and preach. And I went in there, and I started my message like this. I said, I'm in love! I'm in love! I'm in love! And everybody said, who are you in love with? I'm in love with Jesus. Because when you're in love, you don't mind telling people. The first reason you ought to go soul winning, you ought to be a fisher of men, is because you love Jesus Christ. If we could get the love thing straightened out this week, preacher, if we could just get the young people to feel it in their heart again, to love Jesus Christ. We love stuff. We love technology. We love our friends. We love this one and that one. We love the ball teams. But do you love Jesus Christ? The first reason we go is because we love. The second reason we go is because that person that you're talking to could have been you. You grew up in this Christian home surrounded by the gospel. You've heard the gospel over and over again, but there are people out there that haven't heard it one time, and they deserve someone with compassion to come along and to care about them. Listen, it's not just, they didn't want to hear me, big deal. Listen, you ought to care about the people you're talking to. The Bible said, some having compassion, making a difference. It's not just old, young, rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic. It's not just, they smell good or they smell bad. It's not, hey, they're funny, they're not funny. They're saved or they're lost. And if they're lost, they're hopeless. It doesn't matter what they drive. It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter how affluent they are, how funny they are. It doesn't matter what their family pedigree is. It doesn't matter if they're famous or if no one knows their name. If they're lost, they're going to die and go to hell. Is it nothing to you? All you that pass by, can you get out of your shell? Can you get out of your teenage life and realize there are other teenagers out there that need to hear? Brother Smith was here as a statistic he uses often about if children aren't saved by the age of 18, the odds go way down. You could reach other teenagers with the gospel. You could get out of your shell and make a difference. Hey, it's a wonderful thing if one day you clothe people and feed people and help people. But what a glorious thing if you help people get out of hell and go to heaven. Not just difference now, but difference for all eternity. Jesus said, follow me. And I'll make you a fisher of men. We need young people who will decide, I'm going to win souls for Christ. I'm just a teenager. You don't know the difference you can make if you decided, I'm going to be a fisher. Fields are white unto harvest. Pray that the Lord will send laborers. Heavenly Father, we need laborers. From this room right here, we need laborers. God, please call out a young person. I don't even know if it's a special call, Father. It's for all Christians. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I pray that you would light that fire that the preacher talked about last night in the heart of a young person to win people to Jesus Christ. Oh, what a difference a soul winner can make. What a difference.
In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Let me tell you one thing and then I'll hand it over. There's a Sunday school teacher. His name's Ed. He's been challenged by his pastor to give the gospel to his students, and he's walking back and forth out in front of a store in Massachusetts. He reaches for the handle several times and pulls his hand back. Inside is this 15-year-old Sunday school boy. Ed's a full-grown man. Finally, one of those times, Ed reaches out, grabs the handle, turns it, and goes inside to a little stock clerk who's in the back of that store, shoe salesman in Massachusetts. And Edward Kimball. So who's Edward Kimball? Leads Dwight Moody to the Lord. And Dwight Moody sees a million people saved. You don't know what God could use you to do if you decide, I'm going to be a fisher of men. Thank you.
I want us to bow our heads for just a few moments. I'm going to ask the ladies to just play something on the instrument.